Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Someone on Twitch says, Waddle, Tawny Kattan for the win. Waddle, good job.
Thank you.
They like that reference?
Am I right about the 90s? Could that have even been the late 80s? I may not have had the time frame right, but I'm thinking it was.
She was Whitesnake.
Whitesnake's the first concert I ever went to.
Remember, she was sprawled all over the hood of the car for the Whitesnake video. Yeah, she was married to Chuck Finley, left-handed pitcher for the Angels. And then didn't end well.
I think this story's been told by others on the station. The footnote there too is after they had like a really bad divorce with like some violence going on when. Finley Pitt? Was it Finley? Is it or Nagy? What was the guy's name?
No, it was Chuck Finley.
It was Chuck Finley.
Left-handed pitcher. Okay. Chuck Finley was the guy who was married to her.
The pitcher who was on the mound at the White Sox, they played the song in which she's on the car, the Whitesnake song, and he got fired.
He got fired, yeah.
For playing that song. Right. I like the 10th inning rule because it got all of us arguing over strategy. What do you do in that situation? First and third, you don't run. The runner on second just...
That's not strategy. That's common sense.
It's common sense, but what do you do? Do you then take... You were saying with the Reds, do you bunt that guy over to third? What do you do here? How do you approach these things? All of it is more thinking. All of it is more strategy. And I think it brings more excitement into a game that ends quicker.
Why do you need it to end quicker? Why don't you just want it to end like a normal baseball game?
But again, it's just like college football with, hey, we're manufacturing excitement. We're taking the football on the 25-yard line. Here you go. We're matching things up. It's just like hockey.
Yeah, and I don't like that.
You like 3-on-3 hockey, or is it 4-on-4? It's 3-on-3 hockey. And you like it.
I do like that.
And they manufacture more excitement and more odd man rushes.
I like it. I think it's cool. But I don't want it defining the end of the game.
Do you want to play 3-on-3 hockey to start the game?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's first period.
Like, I think it's cool, but I don't think that it's right way to end a game.
There's precedent for all these sports. They all do it. They all do something.
You can
gimmicky.
Have it. You can have a big helping, you know, side of it. It's not for me. This particular situation, that's not strategy. That's common sense. Like, you don't have to be a baseball Mensa, is that the right word, to actually know that with Billy Hamilton at the dish, you don't run Garcia. Like, I don't have to get my baseball degree to know that that's bad decision-making. Like, you just take out the skill portion of it. You don't have to be as skilled when you start the inning with somebody at second base. You just don't.
Well, I mean, you do. You got to get them home. It's not, you don't, you have to manufacture less because the runner's already in scoring
position. Why are we doing it?
We're doing it to create excitement, to create a manufactured rally, much like 3-on-3 hockey, much like a shootout in hockey, much like college football.
3-on-3.
And increase the scoring probability so we're not going 14, 15, 16 innings and you're doing it in 10 or 11.
That crappy 10-inning rule, extra inning rule, has nothing on 3-on-3 hockey. They are completely separate issues. The enjoyment factor are on different ends of the spectrum.
All right.
Like, that. This 10-inning extra, I told you a long time ago when it was implemented, I'm not going to rage against it, but I'm not going to sit here and pet it.
Okay.
And
I'm going to stroke
it
and I'm going to pet it.
I know you are.
Yeah,
that's cool. I'm not telling you not to. I think it's awful. And my team was the beneficiary of it today. I think it's crap. I think you take every... I mean, you just...
And Waddle's got this enormous love-hate relationship with his baseball team.
I hate watching.
You hate watching the Reds. It is amazing.
Yeah, I do. I love them. They're in my blood, but like... Their bullpen sucks, and they do things that drive me crazy.
All right, so if you're just getting into your car, this is the talk of the town right now. Post-game, Liam Hendricks started the 10th inning, manufactured or not, like the rule, hate the rule. You got to start the winning run or go-ahead run at second base in extra innings. They double-switched. So Hendricks took over for the last guy out. I believe it was Vaughn. So by that, Tony La Russa thought that Hendricks had to go out and run in the top of the 10th inning. But Major League Baseball, according to David Bell, did tell all the leagues that they've changed the rule this year that if it's the pitcher who made the last out or the pitcher in that last out spot, you can go to the previous hitter. So Abreu could have started at second base and not Liam Hendricks, and this is what happened in the postgame.
Tony, Osada using Hendricks as the runner in the second inning, was that a intentional choice? As the rule book says, you could have used Abreu as the pinch runner if in that case.
Well, you have to use the guy who made the last out. And that was Vaughn, not Abreu. So Vaughn made the last out.
The rule book, the MLB.com said, if the player in the batting order immediately preceding the half innings leadoff hitter is the pitcher, the runner placed on second base may be the player preceding the pitcher in the batting order. Did like the umps explain anything like that? Or?
Well, I didn't know that. We all thought that Liam was going to be the runner, and that's why I wanted there, because if you wanted a double switch to keep him in the game, if you look at all, Abreu back to Moncada and so forth, that's not who you want to double switch out of the game. I wasn't aware that Abreu could have run. I thought it had to be the guy who made the last out or that spot in the order.
Tony, what went into the decision to have Leury stealing in that spot?
Well, we had, he can run. They're playing the infield in. We wanted to be aggressive, and they threw him out. We tried to be aggressive all day long. We just couldn't get in a situation. So that's the only way you win games like that.
Hindsight's 20/20, but with him being the trail runner, is there any – do you wish you would have had that one back?
No.
I do.
Was that trying to set up for Liam to try to come home on that, or was that just about –
he wasn't going to run home. That's the reason. We're going to try to avoid any kind of contact at the plate. We're looking for a fly ball or something. The base was there to be stolen. We didn't steal it.
If you knew that Abreu was available to be the runner there, would you have gone to him instead of Hendricks?
Yeah, if I'd known that, I didn't know that. I checked the rule. That was why the guys on the bench came out and questioned me about, that Liam was going to be the runner. And I said, yeah, I know. So we didn't know it. But I know, because if you look at the other guys that you would double switch out of the game, those are not guys. Vaughn was the guy to come out. I thought we had to get out of the thing. Kopech done a great job, but, his commander at the end. So we got the out in the ninth. I'll reread that situation. I'm guessing the rules better. Now I know.
Mm. I'm confused. Like were the coaches asking him, or was he asking
him? He basically at the end there, I noticed that the second time around too, that he said, no, we all were wrong on the rule. Like a lot of people are saying, look, you got to have a strong coaching staff. And that is true.
Yeah.
You always want a strong coaching staff. You'd like the manager to be strong, especially when you just hire him when your team's ready to win. And now, we're going back on the coaching staff. So it's all wrong. So you don't have a strong coaching staff. You don't have a strong manager right now. And these are the reasons. And that, to go back to your point, too, when I was listening, that about the infield being in and trying to steal second base. If there's no runner on third, it makes sense. And if we're in regular extra innings, let's get our guy in scoring position. He represents the lead run. That's not the lead run. The lead run's on third. That guy behind the runner on third cannot get thrown out, because that runner on third means everything.
Technically, isn't every base there to be stolen as well? I don't care if you're at first base and there's no one at second. Isn't second base officially, technically, there to be stolen?
It is there.
Every base is there to be stolen. Let's just be honest. That's just the technicality.
It's cringeworthy. It is 3 minutes of that. That was the third or fourth time we've heard that. And to me, I'm not even a Sox fan. It just gives me indigestion. Just the whole part of it, all of it, that whole 3 minute ride with Tony right there is just, it's mind-blowing. It's so cringeworthy. It's so, how did we get here in the fifth week of the season.
Well, I think you made two really good points, and one is you've been making all along. Don't get a big head because I said that.
Yeah, I will.
Was that, listen, when you make this decision, which was an out-of-the-box decision, you are bringing the spotlight to this dugout every single game. More so than you would have if you had hired somebody else, correct?
Right. It's the, like you're chasing the tail analogy. My analogy is, if you created the experiment, don't be surprised when we're using a microscope to examine it.
Yes. And the other thing you said is, look, without Robert, without Aloy, every decision is going to have even more weight attached to it, more than likely, because you're without two of your big guns, which means technically and strategically, you're going to have to be on your P's and your Q's.
Right. Yeah. They need you now more than ever.
Yeah.
And in a 0-0 game, every decision is huge. And you made two colossal mistakes. Tim's in Barrington. You're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Tim.
Afternoon, gentlemen. Yeah, I've heard that conference call like three times now, and it just does not get any better. But my question to you guys is, the Sox had, they had the pick of the litter for a manager this offseason, and they went with this clown.
Well, I wouldn't go there. I mean, go ahead, Tim.
He's definitely a well-respected, well-deserved manager. I'm just saying, the way he's acting now, I don't know what they do, but if they do decide to get rid of him, where do they go from there? Who's out there? Who can they get? That's my question.
Tim, that's a good point because I made that point when they hired him, is that what I was scared about for Sox fans was, if this didn't work, now you have a championship-worthy team, and all of a sudden you have a managerial crisis in the middle of a season, not knowing who the hell to hire. Even if you didn't want A.J. Hinch, even if you were anti-A.J. Hinch because he cheated and he let it all go in Houston, you still had the entire offseason to interview and to hire a guy who could grow with this. Best case scenario is Tony comes in, he didn't lose anything from the mid-2000s, and he's on top of every pitch and every decision, and you're winning it this year, and then he can ride off into the sunset. This is not a manager who could grow with the team.
No. I consider myself a comforter in some ways. Like, I like to comfort people. I want to hug Rick Hahn right now. I just do. I mean, I'm sure he doesn't want me to hug him.
Yeah, and he denied it publicly, but...
But I want to hug him.
You think he needs it, too.
Well, listen, he did a hell of a job putting this team together.
And I'll never forget that Zoom when he just looked like he's seen a ghost. When he announced that Tony, and he didn't want to answer questions, remember?
And not
this
only...
This is Tony's moment.
Right, and not only, like, I think when we talk to him... And I think there's a bite somewhere about it when we ask what keeps him up at night. I think you asked him what keeps up at night, and he said, like, injuries. So yeah. I want to hold him because he lost both Aloy and Robert so early in the season. Aloy before the season even started. And I want to hold him as well because of what's going on right now, because this has got to be keeping him up.
All right. We'll continue to take your phone calls, 332-3776. And for one night, it felt like a championship series for the Cubs. For one night, it felt good. We'll discuss next.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Boom, 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 boom.
I had Pennant fever for one night only. I know what my team is. My team's a 500 team. There's still enough power in there to make some nights fun, like last night. Cubs swept a doubleheader. The second game was filled with drama. A lot of it was bad for Cubs fans. Like, the bases loaded situations were not good. The first at bat between KB and Bauer was epic.
That was a good one.
That was epic, wasn't it? And it went to 3-2, and he thought slider. And even I think JD on the broadcast said slider when Sut asked him, "What are you doing here?" And he goes, "Slider." And
then Sut said, "I'm here to call a baseball game."
Yeah. And then the next thing you know, he took it because it was a fastball right down the middle.
I think he was caught looking in each of those two at bats, right?
Yeah,
and this was after his first at bat. He had a double, I believe, down the left field line.
And then it was, wasn't it nobody out with bases loaded, the second bases loaded situation, and they did not score. And you're like, they screwed this up. And then sure enough, there's Turner hitting the home run, and you're like, oh, boy. But then sure enough, Javi came back.
That's hammered to left. Rocket to left field as if on cue, J.D. gets on that one, and we start over. It's 3-3.
My mom turned the game off. She texted me this morning when she found out. She's like, oh, my gosh, I was so pissed at them. I turned the game off. I had no clue till this morning they came back, and they won the game. Bias tied it, and then Bodie ended up winning.
How'd you like the Trevor Bauer experience?
Oh, did you guys see him pounding his chest on his way to the Dodgers dugout?
I like him.
Big
scream. I like him.
Yeah, is he going to post a little YouTube video for you, Larry?
I hope so. Yeah,
that's cool. Do you point to one eye? Look at me. I'm Trevor Bauer. My eyes closed, even though people are jacking ones out of the park on me.
I will say this.
His
celebration... I know you hate him, but hate's a strong word. You don't like him. But as irritating as he can be, that's a celebration I'm fine with.
Yeah, he didn't point at anybody.
It's the Amir Garrett celebration that pisses me off, and he's on my team.
Does it bother you that he does it for every game? Because here in Chicago, we get to see Bauer once last night.
It doesn't bother. You know,
I watch a lot of Major League Baseball, the network, and I watch a lot of these games late at night. And Bauer's doing this whole thing every game.
Steph's got the shimmy going. You guys celebrate it. Well, Bauer's good too. He won the Cy Young.
Okay, he won one Cy Young in a shortened season. Well, let's see a little more, Mr. Bauer.
I'll take it. We think Darvish is good. He was the runner-up in the shortened season.
He's dealing again,
He's
too.
Exhausting.
He reminds me so much of Cuddy. I've brought this up to you many times over the years. I don't think
Cuddy
anyone sees it like me. I know. I think he even looks like Cuddy now with the facial hair. I think
he's a little puffy-faced for old
like
Cuddy.
Old Cuddy, okay. Yeah. He's a little doughy. He reminds me, and he's not for everyone, certainly.
No.
But I like him. And he reminds me a lot of Cuddy.
Like, again, that type of celebration, I know it makes a lot of you stand at attention and you get your baseball thing going. It doesn't bother me either way. My point is if you want to show your emotions, that way's acceptable to me. What Garrett does, you know, that's just so childish. My team's hard to like.
Mike in Schererville, you're on ESPN 1000. Mike, what's on your mind?
Hey, guys. You know, Sylvie, I know that you're kind of new to the Sox experience down here, but I know that you're a Bulls fan.
Yeah.
I know that you're a Bulls fan. I know that you're very, very well, you know, versed on what Jerry Reinsdorf's track record is as far as how he deals with personnel, especially a guy like Tony La Russa. Tony, who there are good old boys from way back in the day, brings him back to take care of his babies now. There is no chance in hell he is going to fire Tony La Russa midseason. Not going to happen.
Unless it's on a holiday, right?
Yeah, I mean, can we do Christmas in July?
I don't think so. I think Tony's here until he calls it his day himself. He's going to put that tab on the table.
Don't you? I mean, look, if you're Tony La Russa too, and you've gone through the ringer here these first 5 weeks, and now you're on Zoom and you're telling people you didn't know the rules, are you looking at yourself in the mirror maybe a little harder today and saying, you know?
Well, I mean, like, you've even said that he's been very quick to apologize for his mistakes.
I know.
I mean,
but he does wear that Hall of Fame ring every game while he manages.
Wouldn't you?
I don't know.
Really? If you had the Hall of Fame ring and you were in your uniform managing a baseball game, like, I got no problem with him wearing a Hall of Fame ring. Why not? You got to remind yourself just
how
damn good you
were. I'd have one on each hand. I'd have the World Series ring on one. I'd have the Hall of Fame on the other.
I don't know.
Yeah, just so they could show it when I go to the bullpen. Be like, yeah, I need the righty. Oh, is that where the
World
Series
ring is? Listen, this is what I would say to you. Is it something he wore all the time prior to getting back
into
the game?
Well, he didn't get into Hall of Fame until he retired. That was the thing. I mean,
okay, but like recently, he hasn't been managing until this year.
It's a rare situation. Like Phil Jackson used to wear the championship ring only in the playoff run. He would never wear championship rings. His Knicks ring when he was a player.
Why do you give a rat's ass about it?
I think it's a little odd. It's a little showy.
You like showy. You're the showy guy on the show.
You know, the one thing I don't like about Fitzpatrick or Dalton, I don't like the wearing of the wedding ring during a game. That's not the time nor the place to show your love for your wife.
Yeah, that's only because you take offense to it because you think that they're telling you directly that they're better husbands than you. That's a you problem, not a them problem.
You think you're better than me as a husband.
That's a you problem, not a them problem.
Melissa can't swag? Can't wear the gold? I mean, everybody on the whole White Sox team.
How about read the rule book before you swag?
That's a different issue.
The whole White Sox team is wearing their weight in chains, and you won't let a dude swag.
Okay.
By the way, are you back? Speaking of swag, are you back on Javi's team?
Javi always has
swag.
Bang. Javi always has swag. You just got to hang a fastball for him, and that swag delivers.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's true.
That's he always comes to the plate.
No,
he comes to the plate with the same drip every time. Sometimes he leaves it in the Toyota for a game. Sometimes he brings it to the ballpark.
But you're usually lapping it up, or you were before, and now you're running from it.
I'm not running from anything. You just like to create this little narrative for yourself. Javi, Adam doesn't like Javi. Adam appreciates a drip in all forms. Adam will go third person on you.
You used to be his biggest fan.
Yeah.
And well, now you're not.
Well, we don't need to get into why I'm not a Cubs fan.
Okay, but that's a Cubs issue. That's not a Javi issue. Javi didn't do that.
I loved his home run last night. Tie the game up. Let's use this bullpen. Work it out.
I think you hopped out of his Toyota and jumped into your means Mercedes.
Well, there wasn't room in it for me. Oh, too much swag. He leaves it in the car now.
He is the same guy now that he's been his entire career.
I understand
that. And he's never going to be any different. So you just have to. You have to attach a value to it.
He's less rich than he was a year or two ago.
My point is, he needs to get that MLB tattoo touched up, too. It's starting to fade a little bit.
If you're thinking about he is somehow going to morph into a guy that spends more time being patient at the plate, that's a you thing.
No, this is Javi.
Right.
That's it. Right?
That's hammered to left.
And give me the highlight of him taking a walk. Oh, there's only two of those highlights. Like, my point is...
Didn't he walk last night, though? Or was it two nights ago?
Two nights ago was his second walk of the season.
Oh, those are rare, yeah.
My point is this is who he is. Love him, hate him, like him, whatever it is. Find a value, attach it to him, and just whoever it's going to be, you're going to pay him for being this guy because he's not going to change.
Eddie on the north side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, guys, how you doing? Okay, just let me lay it out now. I want to hear your answer about this. I don't think Tony La Russa should even be thinking about who he should put on second base because it's the most ridiculous thing that's ever put in any sport, NFL, NBA, and everything. And the seventh inning, like Yurko said earlier, well, the guy hit a shutout. They don't call it a shutout. Of course you don't call it a shutout. How many shutouts did we see be abrupted in the eighth and ninth innings of everything? Let's put these 2 years past in baseball is like the steroid era and put these rules back into how they were and get back to real baseball, not having ghost players on bases.
Yeah!
And listen, hey, one more thing, guys.
One more. Let's hear this.
Let's trade Fields, get Rodgers, and go for the Super Bowl next year.
Bear down!
All right, guys, have a great day.
This is what I would say. Listen, it's a rule. I'm not a big fan of these rules either. But you gotta learn them. It's like going to England and driving, and they're driving it on different place on the road.
What are they doing on the left side?
It's a different rule.
This is a stupid ass rule. Yeah. I'm going on the right.
Right. No, you can't do that. You have to follow the rules, whether or not you think that they're legitimate. And common sense rules.
That green light turned red too quickly. That sucks. Right. I'm going through it.
Yeah, you decided you wanted to get back in the game. Now you got to learn the rules.
Sam in Antioch, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Sammy?
Awesome. What up, guys? Great call. That last call was
That's Hall of Fame material right there.
So, yeah. Normally I love the show, and I'm trying to suck up to you guys, but I gotta call you out a bit here. I think you're being way too hard on Tony, Mr. Tony La Russa.
Wow.
And I got a question that the baseball experience maybe in the booth a little bit. I'm no athlete myself. But first off, when you make a rule, if you make a new rule, anything, if you're a company, if you're a teacher in your classroom, you make up a new rule, it's not the kid's fault when they forget the new rule. I'm not calling Tony La Russa a kid. He's like 80 or 90 or 100 years old or whatever. But it's not these guys' fault the umpires are there to enforce the rule.
Yeah, but Sam, the other kid dressed in the other uniform in the other dugout knew the rule.
It doesn't matter. The point is that this is not nearly as bad for the White Sox as it is for Major League Baseball. Because they changed the rule to become more efficient, and a rule failing like this, that's on the umpire.
Okay, well, let me ask you this then, Sam.
That's who should take care of it. It's Tony's fault, but I get it. Like, I think that's a human mistake.
Okay.
He's not the worst manager ever who should be fired because
of it. This is why, and I don't totally dispute what you're saying here, but this is why I had a bigger problem, and I have a problem with this. I have a bigger problem with the strategic mistake
of running Garcia.
That I have a bigger issue with, because you're supposed to have a tactical advantage because Tony is a Hall of Fame manager. And that is not a decision that I would attach to the resume of a Hall of Fame manager, all things considered.
Hall of Fame manager, one who wears his ring regularly, and that's important, which I didn't know. Boys, that we're getting into the jewelry of the manager, like we. I know
no, no, but Sam, you're ignoring my point about strategic mistakes.
I get it. I get that completely, and I've seen that, but I also see that we know all the things that we're faulting Tony La Russa for. We're not actually faulting that man for. We're faulting the powers that be for putting that man in a position.
Yes,
where we wanted to see somebody else.
Right.
And I think that he's doing the best damn job he can be. These players aren't, like, publicly so far, you know, fingers crossed, knock on wood. There's not a serious. And we still have a great team who I think is working out some kinks and dealing with a really weird time in a sport that's already struggling before COVID, you know, to try and make themselves more entertaining. These rules aren't smart. I mean, any day of the week, I'll take my team with a man on second and third versus yours with a man on first and third. No offense, but I think that's with me.
Are you talking about Waddle's team or my team? Who does that mean?
I don't know what that means.
I know somebody mentioned that. I don't know. I forget who was speaking, but somebody did mention. I'm sorry, I feel like I'm coming at you guys. I love your show. Somebody mentioned that the first and third situation is no longer a debate. Because it's not better to try and steal and to get to second.
It's not. You got to get the lead run home, and you can't make outs on the base path.
You also have to factor in. But Sam, you also have to factor in who's at the plate as well. You're not going to double up Billy Hamilton. If Billy Hamilton's at the dish, if he does make contact, it's usually a ground ball somewhere, and you're not going to double him up, Sam.
I'm with you on that situation. But I do think that if Tony La Russa is 50 years younger and he's a young gun and he goes to the media and they ask him a question and he knows his stuff because he's on Twitter all the time, he knows the new rules, then we're going to say, oh, yeah, Tony just made a quick mistake.
No, you're wrong there. Sam, that's where you're going. And I like you. You present a lot of good points, Sam.
We're up against the clock.
I want to address that last point. If Tony was younger, 50 years younger, and he went to the podium, and he said that, would we be acting differently? We'll get to that, and Cap and I are going at it again. That's to come.
Shocking. By the way, at some point, you and I have to break down what's going to go on with the Capitals and the Rangers tonight.
Oh, yeah, you know.
The Rangers, by the way, fired all their guys in their front office.
It's crazy Tom Wilson drama, and we're here for it.
And we'll explain it to you before we get out of here.
No, you know it. You know it.
And Bleck and Abdallah will participate in this conversation as well as we explain it.
We are?
Yeah. Oh, this is big tonight, guys.
Yeah.
We'll explain it to Wilbon as well, get his take on Tom Wilson.
Probably not.
Well, he knows the Caps, doesn't he?
That's true.
You know?
Right. That's a good point.
So anyway, just recapping what we're talking about. Sox lose 1-0 to the Reds in 10 today. And Tony La Russa botched some strategy. Let me replay that because I haven't played that in a while. As Lurie Garcia was thrown out trying to steal second base with the go-ahead runner on third base.
Here's the pitch. Garcia's going to take off for second base. The throw down by Barnhart gets him.
I don't know what we're doing. No idea. He's one of the best throwing catchers in all of baseball. I have no idea why you'd be trying to steal with a runner on third base, a pitcher who's not going to be on a double steal. just feel that Larry Garcia must have thought because the infield was drawn in that he could beat the shortstop over there. And he was out by a good bunch.
And then we found out in the postgame show that Tony La Russa did not know the rule that Liam Hendricks did not need to start at second base because Major League Baseball changed that rule where if the pitcher's in that last spot, they don't want pitchers running the bases. So they made the new rule that the previous batter before the pitcher's spot gets to run, it would have been Abreu instead. He admitted he didn't know the rule. He admitted the coaching staff did not know the rule. We've had people yelling about the rules. We know Major League Baseball rules are stupid. Some of them stayed from last year. Some of them got, you know, then DH in the National League. We're doing it 1 year. The next year, we're not doing
it. Yeah, we don't know a lot of the rules, but we're not paid. We're not managing. We're not coaching this team.
So there are two colossal mistakes. I disagreed with the last caller. I've said this a lot about Ricky. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's Joe Maddon. It doesn't matter if it's Dusty Baker. It doesn't matter if it's Ricky Renteria. Doesn't matter if it's Terry Bevington. It doesn't matter if it's Mike Quatty. It doesn't matter.
Lunch with a legend.
When we're talking of Mike Quatty was a lunch with a legend. Yeah. That was the ultimate. We need a guy, and he's a good speaker. We've got the Cubs are a big deal. We've got to sell Morton's out. Let's get Quatty for lunch with a legend. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's Jim Boylan as the Bulls coach. It doesn't matter if it's Billy Donovan or Tom Thibodeau. The age doesn't matter. It's not a personal thing.
Nope.
But when you're talking about a weekly mistake now, every week, guys, the season's only 5 weeks old. Every week we've talked about a mistake that you circle and you say, why'd he make that mistake?
Do you think I wouldn't be confused by the strategic mistake that was made by a 27-year-old manager?
No, we'd be all over.
I don't care what the age
equally,
is.
Equally, we'd say, "What? Why'd you hire the inexperienced manager who doesn't know the rules? You got to, Joe Maddon, you're in your prime. You just won a World Series. He was criticized when he did win the World Series, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
These are all things we can't sit here and have it because of the manager. The manager, it's like the offensive line. It's best to not know when the manager's involved in anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And let the players win the game.
By the way, I mean, the Sox bats were asleep today. Sonny Gray had himself a day. The Sox only tallied two hits, I believe, on the afternoon. So, but there's a chance you could have some of these games. After an explosion yesterday or last night against this Reds team, they came out and couldn't get anything manufactured on offense. Fortunately for them, Dallas Keuchel was out there dealing today. So, you know, I mean, it just, these decisions are going to be even more crucial because there will be moments because you don't have Robert and you don't have Aloy that, you know, every run counts.
And let me give another parallel. Mark Trestman, when he was hired as Bears coach, Jerry Rice and Tim Brown came on this radio station and they said, we don't get it. He was our coach in with the Raiders. We don't get how the Bears hired him as coach because he doesn't have a presence in front of a room. So a year later, when we found out that Trestman was standing in the back of the room and people were questioning his presence inside that locker room, we're like, see, what's going on here? Like, It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, how old you are.
I don't think anybody's going to break bad. That's not what I'm suggesting either. But at some point, you will hear some guys asking questions.
Passan wrote an article 2 days ago. I think Passan's going to join us tomorrow. And so we'll talk to him about that. He is being questioned silently in some corners of the clubhouse. And then Ken Rosenthal wrote about it yesterday. And now here we are the day. And 2 days after those articles, we're talking about two more gaffes in the 10th inning of a tie game. Can't happen, no matter how old, how young you are. Gideon and Skokie, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Gideon?
Guys, so the leaving Hendricks on base doesn't anger me that much because Abreu is kind of slow. So Hendricks could be a better base runner than Abreu in that instance. He's an athletic guy, but Leury stealing there angered me. And then just there are a lot of things boiling with La Russa and his mismanagement with him not knowing that rule And then on top of that, you have these injuries, which isn't La Russa's fault, obviously. But with that circumstance in place, you're going to have Sox fans like me getting very angry at La Russa to the point where we're calling him for him to be fired. I was going to tweet fire La Russa after the game ended, and then I decided I'd hold back. Now getting in the car and hearing you guys talking about this, I kind of want to tweet fire La Russa.
Go out there in the countryside with that big motorcycle you bought, Gideon, and try to ride some of that stress off. That's right.
I might hop on that hog
and go ride, Gideon.
Are you cool with 55? It's 55 motorcycle weather. Is it warm enough?
Put a jacket on.
It's a little cool, especially at the start of motorcycle season. But if it were at the end of motorcycle season, after having ridden for the entire season, it's fine. It's a good temperature. But right now at the start, it's cool.
Throw some chaps on over top those jeans. Get a leather jacket.
Chaps. It's not a horse. I mean,
well, it keeps you warm. It keeps you warm, man.
It's not a horse, it's a hog.
It's not a horse, it's a hog.
All right, happy riding, Gideon.
Thank you.
Is that what they say? Do they say that in the motorcycle community?
Yeah.
Do they say happy riding?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Just like that, too. Okay. Happy riding.
Mr. Harley.
Hey, go have a happy ride.
The Hells Angels are pulling up. Hey, happy riding, everybody.
Happy riding. Hey, everyone, happy riding.
By the way, nice hog.
Nice hog.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Beautiful hog.
Even if you're not spending as much time in the car, don't miss a minute of Waddle and Sylvie at home. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Some interesting baseball to talk about. I got an interesting tweet here, too. This is from Big Tom Callahan.
Big Tom Callahan, you know what that's from.
Is that another Tommy Boy reference?
Yes, it is.
He says, let's not overlook the bullpen nonsense. Hedrick's coming in, then coming in.
Yeah.
Wait, like, and that flew under the radar. I don't know what that was, if that was a communication issue. I noticed it going to break on NBC Sports Chicago. We were watching it in our IDOT bullpen. And I said to the guys, I go, they were showing Hendricks trotting in, and then it looked like he went backwards. Like, he went back to the pen. And sure enough, then they showed the replay that he did backtrack and, like, oh, I'm not coming in?
Didn't know if they were calling for him. I think he was the only relief pitcher warming up, wasn't he?
So that flew on. Did he even get asked about that? Like, was there even communication?
Well, listen, that decision to me, as I said to you earlier, I thought was right. I saw somebody else say that Kopech should have stayed in. I disagree. Kopech, I believe, pitched an inning and two-thirds and walked four guys. I mean, he was dirty. He also struck out four, but he was struggling with his command a little bit. You had bases loaded, and if you look at Hendricks has got a strikeout-to-walk ratio of 19-1. So I actually didn't have a problem with them deciding to bring Hendricks in at that point.
You convinced me on that because I said, oh, this is tough for a guy coming out of the pen with bases loaded with the game on the line. But then you said, hey, take a look. Hendricks doesn't walk many guys. Sure enough, they showed it 19-1. I'm like, okay. And then he got out of it. I'm like, all right, good move.
Kopech was struggling with his command at that time. I actually thought it was a good tactical decision by Tony at that point.
Yep. Roy wanted to talk about some of the Javi discussion that we had earlier. Roy in Minneapolis, you're on ESPN 1000. What's going on, bud?
Hey, boys. Thanks for taking my call. So, hearing all the stuff about La Russa, Sylvie makes you feel pretty good about our Cubbies, right? but actually, on a serious note, yeah. I'm dreading this moment of when we're going to either trade or get rid of some of these guys. So I'm a diehard Cubbies fan. I live in Minneapolis. I converted my fiance over from a Twins fan to a Cubs fan. She's got a Rizzo jersey. I have a Baez jersey. We both love these guys. If you were to bet on it, at the end of this season or at the beginning of next season, which one of us will have the guy
Rizzo.
The guy that's on the back of her jersey, which
wife.
One of us will still have that guy on the team?
You said it was your wife or girlfriend. What'd you say?
Fiance.
She, the Rizzo jersey, for sure. I bet on that.
I said get her a Horner.
You bet on the Rizzo jersey? Oh,
yes.
Did you say a Horner jersey?
Yeah, get her a Horner jersey.
Oh, that's, you know, Jesse. Jesse bought them all. There are no more available.
No more Horner jerseys available? Yeah.
Who's the kid that came and steal? Get the steal came in for the win last night? Get a steal jersey.
Any chance both of them will still be on the team?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
I think there's
little chance for Bryant.
I agree.
Sure. I agree. Okay. That's good to know.
I mean, so you buy another jersey, Roy. I mean, I know they're not cheap, but
I know.
You could always pay tribute to Javi. The Javi Baez jersey will not be like wearing a Cade McNown jersey to a Bears game. Like, that will forever be looked upon as a good, it's like wearing an Urlacher jersey to a Bears game now.
That's fair. I love Javi. I just don't want him to go. But, you know, I get the money thing. It's just, I don't know. It's just bad.
To be honest with you, Roy, I don't get the money thing. If you want to make the decision that Javi's not worth X amount of dollars because his on base percentage is what it is, his batting average is what it is, he hasn't, you know, moved up from some of that stuff. If that's what your evaluation is, fine. But if you're getting rid of him just because you like him, but you don't want to pay him, shame on a team in the third largest market in baseball.
Right, right.
Agreed. No, agreed.
Thanks, Roy.
Thanks, guys.
And by the way, for the record, I know he was just kidding. The Sox badness today doesn't affect me feeling better about the Cubs. And, of course, I had, a Sox fan when I was tweeting about La Russa saying, go worry about your lovable losers on the north side, Sylvie. Talk about the White Sox. Talk about the White Sox. You guys never talk about the White Sox. Talk about the White Sox. Talk about the White Sox. Oh, you're criticizing the White Sox? You worry about your lovable losers, Sylvie.
Wait till we get into some Blackhawks talk in the 5 o'clock hour.
Well, no one breaks down hockey like us, though.
Amen.
Tom Wilson headquarters right here. I was alluding to the IDOT bullpen and the discussion over strategy. Don't forget, driving responsibly in construction and work zones really is a matter of life or death. Learn more online or through social media at lifeordeathillinois.com. I think it was a listener who sent me this article. So hat tip to whoever sent me this on Twitter or Instagram. Someone in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, this is in Pittsburgh, for the lowly Pirates, wrote an article that what the Cubs are doing this year is more egregious than what the Pirates are doing. That they should be the team that people circle and say, how dare they?
Because the Pirates aren't spending anything, but the Pirates aren't in the same position that the Cubs are in.
Yeah, yeah. So let's go to Connor in Lombard. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Connor?
Hey, Sylvie, how you doing? Just want a quick, what's going on with Yasmani Grandal, the guy getting paid $18 million a year to not swing the bat, maybe takes a walk or two a game, highest paid player on the team. We need some better than that.
Gave you a lot of catcher's interference calls this year. No?
Get your mitt hit. I didn't. I just kind of felt that way.
No,
I
mean, about your lovable losers.
Yeah, Connor mentioned, look, the only thing that you can say that is positive about what has transpired over the last 5 weeks for Grandal is he does take a lot of walks.
Yeah.
The on-base percentages is a little higher than you would think it would be, despite his struggles at the plate, because he has taken a ton of walks.
Right. The veterans have not, stepped up yet. Yeah, and that's why the Robert injury was so maddening, because you saw everything you wanted to see with his plate discipline.
Yes, he was making progress. There's no question. And that was something that a lot of White Sox fans were talking about coming out of spring training. One of their issues, or one of the things they were keeping their eyes on, was, remember how it happened at the end of the year last year? That Robert went into a deep funk and didn't have good plate discipline, and it was something that people kept their eye on, and he had shown a ton of progress on that front.
All right, can't miss stuff with Michael Wilbon, and we will play you the Tony La Russa cringeworthy audio coming up in 2 short minutes.